Hare Krishna. I'll answer three questions briefly. The day before yesterday, I got a kind of a cold, and on top of the cold, I got a fever, and I still have that. Here is one question from Jennifer Priya in Scotland, and she says that when growing vegetables and fruits in our garden, it's acceptable to use naturally occurring nematodes, small viruses that kill slugs or other way of killing slugs. What about other pests and pesticides, considering that we won't starve if they destroy our crops because we can buy food in the shops? Of course, the idea is to avoid buying food in the shops and to be self-sufficient, although self-sufficiency in Scotland is not an easy thing, but at least grow your own fruits and vegetables in the garden, and you want to continue doing that. Ideal solution, and I'll repeat this at the end as well, is to always find the least violent solution to such things as slugs. I know when we had a farm in Wales, they had a real problem with slugs over there. And at night, in my motorhome, I would hear groundhogs and badgers and rats munching away on them. It was sort of hard to sleep. But even that wasn't enough. So if you can find some natural chemical pesticide to deter them, to turn them away as opposed to killing them, make another little garden for something that's really their favorite and feed them that. I know that picking them is also another alternative, picking them off, but then at night, especially that's when they tend to come out, can't afford to keep guards on a garden at night to pick off slugs. If all else fails, then use those nematodes, but try to look for other alternatives. Ahastani sahastanam, jivo jivasya jivanam. We want to survive, so let's take the steps necessary to survive, but try and find the most violent free method. That is our general rule of thumb. The next question is from Dayavir Das. He says, a local GVC in North Carolina, saying that the approved standards and guidelines approved by the GVC pertaining to instruments like harmonium are optional. Is that true? If so, how does one determine what standards the GVC sets are optional? It seems like you can follow your standards if you don't like the ones the GVC sets. Yes, of course, it is true. And the reason that it's true is because there are two different types of decisions that the GVC makes. One are called laws, and the other ones are called guidelines. So right now, to the best of my recollection, the standards, and here he's using the words guidelines, that were approved by the GVC are in this category of a guideline, which is not compulsory and binding on everyone, but gives a direction that the GVC wants devotees to go in. And there are two reasons why this is not yet a guideline. One is, why it's not yet a law, can't say that it will be a law, but why it's not a law right now. One is because it's part of a larger work. It only gives certain aspects of kirtan standards, and as far as I understand, the committee continues to work on it to have actually a whole kirtan standards manual and book, and this is just on some aspects of instrumentation. The other is that there are some things contained within this, and in the interim period, therefore it should necessarily be law until the whole thing is viewed. The other is that in the interim period, within this guideline, there are certain things that in the GBC, when they discuss, that GBC members weren't necessarily convinced that that was necessarily law and would have required further discussion, and there was limited discussion. So because there are some things within the overall standards that weren't fully viewed as being law by the GBC, therefore, but they agreed that it was a guideline, it could function as a guideline, therefore that's how it's presented. But it doesn't mean that people can follow laws or not follow laws of the GBC when laws are... decisions of GBC are published as laws, then they're compulsory. When they're guidelines, then they give a certain direction. It doesn't say you do this, you do that. It says this is the general vision or understanding on something. And Nanda Gopal asks the third question, what does it mean, divine nature, demoniac nature? In people's horoscopes, it shows what type of nature they are, and can these people, particularly those of demoniac nature, can they become devotees? And of course the answer is yes. Jagai and Madai became devotees by the process of chanting Hare Krishna. When Krishna talks about divine and demoniac natures, he doesn't talk about the swarup of the living entities. Jivata swarupo nitya Krishna das. We're all Krishna das. We're all servants of Krishna. We're not eternally demons. We're actually eternally and originally divine. But karanam gunasangasya sarasa joni janmashu. But by association, by the association with bad association with people, by associating with the results of our past activities, then we take on certain characteristic traits and begin to function as non-devotees, as demoniac people. And all of this can certainly be wiped away. Ahantam sarva papebhyo, all of these sins, result of past sins, can be wiped away by the power of devotional service. Simply one needs good association, one needs the mercy of the Lord, and to apply himself to the process of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, on rare occasions, even against one's own will, one just becomes Krishna conscious by just pure mercy. But generally, the idea is that it requires personal effort on part of the individual. So, in one sense, here we are. We're also, from our past conduct, lived lives of non-devotees and did so many other undesirable things. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, by chanting Hare Krishna, then that demoniac nature can be subdued and the divine nature can come out. The example is there, for instance, of Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. In their past life, they engaged in all kinds of debauchery. But by living as trees in Vrindavan, they gradually became purified, and ultimately, by Krishna's mercy given to them through Narada Muni's grace, they were able to attain love of God and go back to the heavenly planets and go back to God. Same thing with the Vidyadhara called Sudarshan, who took birth or was cursed to become a snake and began to eat up Nanda Maharaj. Krishna saved his father and transformed the Sudarshan back to his original form. So everything is possible by pure devotional service, and that's why Srila Prabhupada often quotes this example of Jagai and Madai. They're real example, modern day examples of sinful people who, by bad association, by the influence of previous lifetimes of sins, they've prone to committing so many different illicit activities. But by the grace of Lord Nityananda, by the association of Vaishnavas, by hearing the holy name, they gradually became purified, or rather quickly became purified, and transformed from demons to devotees. Hare Krishna.